busking straight system call said that he would like to come over late today for any kind of briefing that might be given to him on Southeast Asia. So I called him, I came back to the office, I called Walt Rostow, and told Walt of the call, and I have not yet answered it. Walt said he thought I'd do better if I just checked with you directly so that I'd have it right from the top.
Well, here's what I want to be cautious about. I don't want to be getting different briefings. That's why at the beginning on the foreign situation, I designated Russ to sit in with all of them instead of designating you, because I didn't think I could leave out the Secretary of State, and I thought that I didn't want to spread it around. So I told all of them they ought to talk to me or the Secretary of State. Now Agnew called Russ this morning and asked for it. Russ called me and he talked to him. He just told him substantially what we said in this statement, that there had been no basic change, that there had been no breakthrough, that we would inform them when anything happened. That's what Agnew has. I thought in the light of that, I got a little bit worried, and I thought I ought to call a presidential candidate so they could tell their people. So I got them all up. I checked with Rusk, and he agreed that that ought to be done because of the diplomacy is under his setup. He's got Averill and Vance working at it, and I didn't want them to be telling a different story, so we briefed them on what they were going to say. Incidentally, they didn't stay with it. They said there had been movement. We said there had been no change, and no basic change. They said there had been movement, so it's pretty hard to have no change in movement, too, but they claimed it was misread. So I talked to Hubert and Nixon
invited about
Wallace. Well, Hubert was just a little no, he was just not very good about it. I mean, they were all three on a conference call. Both of them looked to have a transcript. I'd be interested if you look at it. But
yeah.
I said, I want you to know that our position is sit down the GBM, and we would, of course, assume that they wouldn't shell the cities and abuse the DMZ, and if they did to such an extent as to affect our national interest, they would trigger a resumption. Now, that's our position. We can't say that. We don't want to say that. We're not going to say it. But that is our position now, period. They have not done that yet. They might do it in 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks. I won't be here 5 months, but 5 weeks. But basically, it is up to them. They can sign on any time. When they sign on, I do not know. I've gotten up some mornings, I've been very hopeful and cheerful. I've gone to bed at night feeling very sad. The next day, I get encouragement, and it looks like I can do some good. I got out of politics to get in peace, and it looks like I could win the campaign. The next night, and it looks like I'm losing it. So it's up and down, but I got out of politics to get in peace, and I'm going to stay in it right up till they say, so help me God, and do my best to get it. Now, if there's anything that developed that requires me to radically change our course and to alter it and to sign an order that would differentiate the situation, the first persons I would call would be the leadership of the Congress of both parties and the candidates. Now, until then, these speeches are not going to do us any good. Speeches don't help us with peace. I said Bundy's speech was made and carried to the corners of the world that the president's aide advocates withdrawal.
Yeah.
And I said the next day a man left for Hanoi. Now, I don't know if it had any connection or not. Humphrey had said last night that he was going to stop the bombing, period, no comma, no semicolon. And I said other speeches going into what you're going to do next January don't help a damn bit. I would just observe that if you had this job and I had your place, I don't think I would be making any speeches what I was going to do January on something I don't know what the hell is going to be in January. Why don't all of you wait till January and then do it? Nixon spoke up and said, that's exactly the way I feel about it, and you may be sure that I'm going to do nothing to undercut my country. Wallace said, you may be sure that I support whatever you do, and whatever your secretaries and your chiefs do, and I always have, and I'm not going to discuss Vietnam except to say I support my government. Humphrey said, I want to thank you very much for calling, Mr. President.
All right, so much for what I think I'll do is put in a call for Muskie, and I do not wish to be discourteous to him, and I'll just tell him over the phone just what you said. I have a copy of what you told them, and I'll just tell him that over the phone. I don't have anything more to tell him than what you've told the candidate.
That's right. The way just tell him I called, talked to the presidents and said that, and I'll be glad to talk to him anytime he wants to. I'm a little worried about Muskie and Humphrey because they're tricky. He wrote me a private letter and then he released it.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he wrote me and said he wanted to keep the letter private. And then he said it might be well to consider stopping the bombing. Then he gave out the letter and said that he urged that the bombing be halted.
Oh, dear.
So that's what worries me a little bit about him. And you can tell him, though, just to say the president said to take a little statement we issued this morning and say this covers it. Now the president in trouble with him, he'll go to inquiring and say, well, has there been, what's happening in Paris? And when you get into that field, you get into another department and you get into problems with him, and you can't trust him. I can tell you that to begin with, because I've just had evidence. Yes, sir.
All right, I'll just keep.
But tell him the president will be glad to talk to him if he wants to, anytime, and the Secretary of State will be glad to talk to him anytime. He's sheepish, you see. He's screwed Rusk up, and he screwed me up, lied to me by publishing this letter. Now he wants to go around and try to see if he can't sneak in a little bit. And he's got the best image of anybody because the press has just made a great hero out of him.
Yeah, kind of a modern day Abe Lincoln.
Yes, that's right.
Another quick item while I have you.
I've got this problem I thought I'd ask you.
All right.
I did not accept, but I have not declined, the speech to the Smith dinner tonight. Both Nixon and Humphrey are going to be there. Al Smith, it's the bishop's dinner for Al Smith they have every year in New York for charity. I've gone most of the years. Both Rockefeller and Lindsay and Nixon and Humphrey and all of them are going to be there. I've got a little speech here. I thought I'd read it to you, see if you thought it was good enough to go. If not, I wouldn't go. I don't care about it. Maybe I oughtn't go anyway. I don't go anywhere, though, and there were some lines I rather like. Vice President Humphrey, Governor Rockefeller, Mayor Lindsay, Archbishop Cook, Mr. Nixon, distinguished guests. Whoever put this head table together should run for president. We could use a good consensus politician now in the White House. It is the first time I've heard of Armistice Day being celebrated in October.
That's true.
Of course, we call it Veterans Day now.
Oh, those are awful cute.
But you could still fool me with some of the old campaigners who are here. Mm-hmm. Even so, I don't think any veteran could appreciate my feelings on this night. Except maybe General Custer. And I don't know of any chief executive or otherwise who has ever been surrounded by so many Indians. It kept me awake last night. Finally, around 4 a.m. this morning, the ghost of Al Smith appeared at my bedside and he said, I've seen the guest list for that dinner, Mr. President. I can't sleep either. Then Al Smith gave me a tip.
God.
He told me to handle you like he had once handled another audience.
God damn.
Soon after his first election as governor of New York, Smith went to visit the state prison in Sing Sing. He was asked to speak to the inmates, but he did not know quite what to say. Finally, he began, my fellow citizens. Then he remembered that to be a guest of the state prison meant that you're no longer a citizen. So Al Smith was even more embarrassed, and he hurriedly said, my fellow convicts.
My fellow what?
My fellow convicts. And that did not sound quite right, so the governor waved his arm in a grandiose gesture and said, well, anyhow, I'm glad to see so many of you here. My wife's eating life. And you get her life, that's something. That is my salutation to all of you for now. But as the resident prisoner in the big white jailhouse, I do anticipate the pleasure of saluting one of you soon with the greeting, fellow convict. I'm particularly glad to see my good friend Archbishop Cook here tonight. Although looking at the company he's keeping tonight, I was tempted to lean over and ask him, aren't you in the wrong pew, Archbishop? I resisted the temptation because of the ecumenical nature of this gathering. Ecumenical nature of this gathering.
That's right.
To be fair, I would have had to put the same question to Governor Rockbaum and Mayor Lindsay. I can just see Al Smith sitting up there with St. Peter. Maybe even up there with Herbert Hoover, chuckling at all the secret thoughts of this head table when they look over at Archbishop Cook. Mr. Nixon is here, hoping that the Archbishop has come to witness a resurrection. He is so confident and sassy these days that he's already planning to change the name of Washington, D.C. to Resurrection City. I hope he has cleared it with Senator Thurman. Dick, I think you should know that there's some wiseacres down in Washington that are ready to do some name changing of their own. They're going to call your top departmental team Uncle Strong's Cabinet.
Yeah.
Vice President Humphrey is sitting here hoping that the Archbishop will pass the collection plate. He asked me to use my good offices to ask another little favor of the Archbishop. Just a small miracle of loaves and fishes. Governor Rockefeller's sitting over there thinking, well, they almost got me to the church on time.
Oh, my God.
And Mayor Lindsay is offering up a slightly different prayer. Get me to the church. Get me to the church next time.
Oh, that's true. Get me to the church next time.
There's only one man missing from this happy scene. And I think it's a shame that Gene McCarthy has refused to come to church.